Hello, and thank you for joining us on our Inspire Church podcast. It's our prayer that this message inspire you, that it builds your faith, and that it can help you see how God desires to move in your life. Enjoy the message.
I want to talk to you about temptation. Temptation. I don't really want to ask anyone to put their hand up. Does anyone get tempted? Like, I get tempted all the time. Like, no, I'm not talking about like bad, you know, of course I've got the victory over all the bad ones, like all the big words in the Bible. But, you know, like lollies, for example. Like, there's a rule, Tim Tams, for example. If it's broken, if the Tim Tam is broken, it doesn't count as one. Is that correct? You get to have another one. As you can eat as many lollies as you want, but just has to be different color. You know, I've had a red snake, now I can have a green snake, now I can have an orange snake. And if I do it in that color order, it's like I've only had one. I get tempted with things. And, you know, I'm being trivial, I'm having a bit of a laugh, but temptation's a very, very serious topic. And the consequences of giving into temptation sometimes might be a belt size getting bigger, but it could be the end of your marriage. It could be your finances getting totally obliterated because you're tempted to gamble beyond your means and all sorts of things. Temptation can totally ruin your life and steal and rob the plans and blessings and the purposes of God off your life. So I believe as Christians, we shouldn't have the word temptation as a word we don't talk about. And the word temptation could be to do something, or we could be tempted not to do something. Like tempted not to tithe, tempted not to serve, tempted not to go to church, tempted not to read our Bible. I could rattle on. Tempted to not be kind to each other. There's a lots of temptation that goes on, and we all know that young people struggle with temptation more than older people, so this side of the room here can stare at this side and feel a little bit... I'm joking, by the way. Older people struggle with temptation as much as younger people. It's not something that you ignore and it just goes away. But you know what? God says that we can change our minds about temptation. We can change our minds and change the paths and change the reactions of what we do with what we get tempted with. And thank God that Jesus overcame temptation in the wilderness. Because otherwise, we wouldn't have a God that we could relate to. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a Savior that understands what we're going through. But Jesus had victory over temptation. And Jesus, the second Adam... You understand that concept, Jesus being the second Adam. When he went through the temptation, he had to do it in the wilderness in a 40-day fast where the first Adam had everything and gave in. And what did he get tempted with? He got tempted with food. You see, Jesus conquered everything that sin wrapped us in. Jesus conquered everything. Adam was with fruit. Jesus was in a field. They say the field was filled with limestones and the limestones looked exactly like loaves of bread. Yes, I do my research on this stuff. And they say that he was in that moment after 40 days, and it says this in Luke chapter 4 from verse 1. It says, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, those days have ended, he was hungry. Can I tell you today that Jesus was hungry? Do you understand that? So Jesus was facing real temptation, not some like easy one. He didn't get an easy test. I don't know about you, but I get hungry. Like I eat and I go to sleep at night, and then I wake up, and the reason I get out of bed is I'm hungry. Is that happened to anyone else? Hungry all the time. If I don't eat within like, if there's like, all right, the office here at Liverpool, and then I've got to get to the office at the Norellan Church, by the time I get there, if I'm already hungry, and it's only like, I don't go in peak hour because it takes an hour, but, you know, I could be hungry by the time I get there and I'm angry, all right? And I get hangry. Anyone do that? You just, if I look grumpy, just throw some food at me. It's not because my heart's full of hate. I'm just usually hungry if I come across that way. Just remember that. Just throw food at him. That's what my mother used to do to me when I was a kid. Pacify me with food. Anyway, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and he was hungry. He was lonely, but he was full of the Spirit. So I want to give you one point in dealing with temptation. Number one, be filled with the Spirit. Come on. Be filled with the Spirit. And it's not talking about necessarily an act of, you know, that the moment he was filled with the Spirit. It's just saying that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe we've got to continually fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So dealing with temptation. Jesus was not only dealing with temptation, but he was also dealing with it in the wilderness. And sometimes we've got to understand that at our lowest point is sometimes when the temptations in our life seem to get harder to resist. 40 days no food gets offered the answer. Sometimes we justify sin because it satisfies the temptation in our life. But what are we trying to do? Are we living bondage to things? Are we living free? Because Jesus came to set us, the captives, free. Can I get an amen? So dealing with temptation in your life, Jesus shows us a pattern here in Luke chapter 4. We also see that many other people in the Bible dealt with temptation as well, but I believe this scripture here gives us a good clear picture for tonight. It says, when he was out there for 40 days, he ate nothing and he was hungry. I know I'm laboring the point, but this hunger thing is, do you know what your weak points are? Or do you live in denial? Jesus knew he was hungry. Do you know what your poison is as such? Because if you say you don't have one, you'll just ask someone very close to you and they'll tell you straight away, no, you have this propensity. Whether it be personality, environment, I'm not sure how we develop inklings to certain temptations and not others. But one thing I would say is don't judge someone by their temptation. Come on. Because they've probably got a victory over something that you can't even get it. Are you hearing me? Don't judge someone by their temptation. Judge them by, I don't know. Don't judge, the Bible says, so don't judge them. Don't judge them. Pull the log out of your own eye first, Jesus says. Don't judge people by their temptations. It's a hard job as a pastor where people come in and they're all beat up on themselves because they've done something wrong and they think you're going to not like them anymore because they're going to tell you something that's holding their life up. And it's like, it's our job to sort of help you through this. Yeah, we might have to hit you with a stick to... No, it's people come in so much shame. They think they're going to be thrown out of the church and they're going to be hated on it. And you're like, okay, this is how we're going to get through this. Are you hearing me? Know your hunger. Know what it is. But understand this. Know the right things that you need to fill yourself up with. Fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit, number one. Understand your hunger. Understand the devil knows your issues as well, and he's going to use them against you. And so we see, how does Jesus deal with Satan when it comes to temptation? Because I believe we can fall into temptation without Satan even being around. Are you hearing me? But also, we can the devil wants us to fall and live broken, live fallen, stay fallen, or whatever it is. So the devil's got his tricks. So he says to him, Satan says to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. that's very smart. And he says this, it is written. How do we deal with temptation? He didn't start having a conversation with Satan. He just quoted scripture. You don't have a conversation with your temptation. I'm being very practical tonight. I'm sorry for those that wanted to hear something that didn't have to apply. And I'm not telling anyone you're going to walk out of here temptation free. But maybe someone tonight that's really wrapped up and caught up in something and they haven't been able to talk about it. Hopefully tonight's going to give you some steps to start to loosen that stuff up. Come on. You respond to your temptation with what it's written, whatever the word of God is in that situation. You shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Then the devil takes Jesus up in verse 5 and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Shows him everything that he could have. And he says, I'll give all this to you, all of the glory of the world, if you just worship me, this will be all yours. See, Jesus broke the temptation of the physical temptations, hunger, maybe a drive temptation. But then we see this temptation of glory. Glory. Man, glory. We all love a bit of glory. Come on. You're like, I don't know, me, I'm humble. Did you brush your hair today or something? Yeah, you like glory. Do you have a sports team that you like? Do they win? Humblest, the most humblest man in the church. You know, we all like a bit of glory. If we know someone remotely, someone that someone knows that's famous, we'll tell everyone. Oh, what if someone does anyway? You know, well, my cousin's friends, uncle's third cousin plays reserve grade for Camden Tigers. You know, we love a bit of glory. We love it. Come on, admit it. When something goes well, you want to tell everybody. How do you think Facebook operates? The most multi-billion, trillion-dollar business is running on glorifying yourself. You know the filters? Does anyone use the filter ever? Come on. You're into glory. You're tempted by glory, okay? If you have boasted in anything except Christ, you have fallen into the temptation of glory. I'm trying to make you all feel real bad tonight because that's what preachers do. We're doing all right. If you look in the mirror and you like what you see, you've sinned in glory. Anyway, the temptation of glory, of course we want it. Billion-dollar industries, sports industries, entertainment is built on glory, fame. I want to be on the billboard. I would say the big screen, but there's been budget cuts. And Dave Shahadi, what are you doing to us, mate? We're the church of the big screen. And now we're like, oh. Glory! The glorious big screen. Anyway, if you had that and took it to your house, it'd probably look all right. Yeah, anyway. Did you do that to take the glory off the creative guys? Did humble Elmer a bit? Okay. We all want to be on the big screen. Can the big screen be on next time I preach? Because I want to be on it. And, oh, we're on the internet, so everyone watching around the world, I suppose that's pretty good. We love the glory, but you know what? We've got to be reflectors of glory, not takers of glory. We want to reflect the glory of God. Okay? So that it's not to avoid it, because Christians get all funny and they act all humble by staying out of the victories. No, it's God, so I've got to act humble. No, no, no. It's like, do it like the Americans. They get up and the first thing is, I want to thank God. That's what they do. I don't know if they're even Christians. Maybe you see every like Emmy show, every whatever, that's like, I want to thank God. It's like, wow. Give God the glory. That's all you need to do. When you take it for yourself, you're being like Satan. Satan was the lead worship singer of heaven. And his job was to reflect the glory of God. But he wanted that glory for himself. And that's what made him fall. Self-glorification, self-worship is what Jesus had to deal with here. Worshipping the devil for everything. And so we see that we become, to break that temptation of glory or pride or all those, that group, we've got to be very good at quickly giving God the praise. If you walked in here tonight during the worship and you went, oh, the singing bit's still on, you missed the whole point. You're here to worship God, to glorify Him. You say this, oh, my dole check's not big enough. If the government gives me a $5 increase, I'll thank God. No, we thank God first. Oh, I've got a no good husband. If he does something good, then I'll thank God. No, you thank God first. Come on. My kids are annoying me. If they behave themselves, then I'll thank God. No, we thank God first. Look at the principles laid out in Job. Job lost everything. He's got boils. He's scraping himself with broken pottery in the dust. And his wife just says to him, why don't you just curse God and die? And he refused. He gave God the glory. He gave God the glory with or without the increase. And God blessed him. We see that Jesus broke the temptation of this pride, of this wanting to be lifted up, wanting to be first. He broke that. You see, that will ruin your marriage. That will ruin your friendships. If you can't get excited about someone else winning, you're going to have a very small world. It's all interconnected. And we see that Jesus says this, get behind me, Satan. Oh, man. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord, and him only shall you serve. Oh, serve. Hope you're serving, church. You can sign up afterwards. Giving God the glory. What about this? Oh, I'd like to serve, but I'm too busy. Who are you glorifying? Glorifying yourself, glorifying your job, glorifying everything else. Oh, with kids' sport and all that, you know, we can't get involved in church. Glorifying amateur sport over the kingdom of God. Come on, church, let's get real. I'm not saying, hey, my kids are into sport. I love it. I love the glory. The glory, the 8-year-old gets a goal. Feel awesome. Thank God for that. Give him all the praise, but feel a bit of pride myself. Fall into that temptation again. But you know, serving God, worshiping God, is what we're called to do. Jesus set us free so we can do that. It's not a negative thing that we get to be saved. It's not a bad thing that we get to be freely worshiping Jesus. It's not bad news. The Bible's called good news, actually. Good news. It's good news that you are saved. It's good news you're set free. It's good news that you get to serve God freely. Let's glorify God with our words and with our actions. By the way, serving isn't just volunteering. Serving is spirit attitude. I see people on this stage some of the time, not all, I'm going to say all the time, but definitely over the years, and they're up here and they got tears in their eyes, and I'm like, you're not worshiping God. You're taking all the glory for yourself. You're not worshiping. You're not serving. You're just doing your gig. You can see straight through it. Come on, church. Come on. Let's be real. And we can fall into that temptation at any time. You've got to keep ourselves doing servant things with the servant spirit. Not, wow, how awesome am I. Wow, how awesome is my God. Come on, it's the heart attitude. Don't give in to it. It's a temptation. This is a very harsh sermon. I don't think I'll probably be asked back in the next few weeks. I'll say something really nice at the end to fix it all up. Then he took him to Jerusalem and set him at the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you throw yourself down, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, his angels have charge. They'll pick you up. A point I want to make is, as Satan's having a go at Jesus, tempting him, he's also having a crack at his identity. You probably worked this out yourself, but he's like, if you are the Son of God, if you are this, if you are that, if you are really Jesus, and he's almost provoking him. And I want to tell you that you are not your temptation. You are not identified by your sin. See, in Western society, we'll say alcoholic as a human being. Can't learn, whatever, dyslexic. No, human being, Jesus, set free, died on the cross for. Are you hearing me? Addicted, someone that Jesus paid the price for to be set free. Sick, and we call people by their afflictions, and we label people by their temptations. But God doesn't call us that. He calls us sons, heirs, daughters. If you are. So if you ever feel like you're getting tempted, and then you see what happens if in your head you start thinking that you are called and set apart, you live that way. But if your identity can get messed up and you can start thinking, it's no good, it's no point, I'm not going to win anyway, you give up, you give into that temptation anyway. Because you say, well, at least I have my bliss in my temptation. But what happens when you give into temptation? It rises again. It's never, ever quenched. Jesus says, drink from him and you won't thirst. Because if when you drink from death, when you drink from giving into whatever your addiction or whatever your temptation is, the pull gets stronger and stronger. Not that that is to let anyone tonight say, I've gone too far, because the power of God is stronger. The blood of Jesus Christ paid it all. You can be set free from anything. It might take some work, but you can be set free from anything. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we see the devil's playing at his identity, pulling him into temptation. And the last temptation we see here is tempting the hand of God as such. And he says, it has been as it's been written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I always find this scripture very convicting, because I think about in my life how much I need grace and how much I need the realities of God to help me in my frail human state. But then I think about what am I not doing that I should be doing? What am I probably getting tempted not to do? Omitting. And then expecting God to pick up the pieces. If I treat my wife horribly, I can't expect God to bless my marriage. But if I sow the right things in, buy the flowers when they're on special on Tuesdays from Coles, after 7 p.m., a little bit wilted, but still all right. if I treat my kids poorly, if I expect someone else to tell them about God. Come on. Send them to youth group for an hour a week, expecting them to become angels. Take responsibility. That's part of it. Take responsibility for your part in God blessing your life. Because there's a temptation not to. There's a temptation to sit back and just say, well, whatever. God wants your neighbor to be saved, and you say, well, I'm going to wait until if a bird flies over this way and there's a rainbow that way and the wind and it's 22 degrees and they're getting the mail out the same time as me, I'll know that's a sign to tell them about Jesus. No. Come on, church. There's things I've got to be responsible for. I want to create conversation. So you know, what'd you do on the weekend? I'm asking these questions to start provoking a conversation. Let's not tempt God. You see, this temptation here is also a temptation to say, I need a massive sign, a massive wonder for me to do the right thing. And we just got to follow after God. We just got to go on about our daily walk. And we got to not be tempted. Don't let the Lord be tempted in our life. Live your life in such a way that you're living out the Word of God in your daily walk. I remember when I was a youth pastor in this church, actually. Where else? It's hard when you've been here your whole life. You go and visit other churches, you tell them all these awesome stories because it's about people that they don't know. But then when I'm here, I'm like, oh, they're sitting over there. I can't tell that story. And I can't embellish the story either because you'll know. That's the other problem. So anyway, there was this family and I said, well, basically, we've got to teach your kids the Word of God. They've got to be discipled. You can't just... So I said, I'll put a booklet together that can help you. Now you don't need this booklet because they already exist. But I'll put a booklet together to help you so you can help your teenagers and help your family just understand the Bible for themselves. And so, yeah, that's great. So then they said, I'm too busy for that. I said, so just clarifying, you're too busy to once or twice a week sit down with your family for 5 to 10 minutes and just go through this thing to help understand the Bible. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, Luke. Well, I can tell you that none of them are in church. None of them are following after God. Like, you got to do the work. Come on. What you put in is going to come out. Bring up a child in the ways that they shall go, and they shall not depart from it. That's what the Bible says. And so if you're bringing them up in a way they shouldn't go, they're going to stick to that as well. Your fruit is your family, amen? So I want to encourage you, make sure you put everything in. Put everything in. Put everything in with your temptations. I believe that you should have people around you that you can trust that won't gossip with it. So don't tell me. That was a joke. I wanted to tease someone then, I thought I couldn't make him look bad. Have a couple of people that know your temptations, that you're sharing your journey with, that are praying for you, that are believing for you. God doesn't want you to live alone. God doesn't want you to live broken. And too many Christians are sitting in churches today, secretly suffering, just wanting to be set free, but don't know how to address things, don't know how to talk about things. And I just encourage you, you don't have to get up on the pulpit and tell everybody about it. But I believe there's just, in the right time, you tell the right people. Never, ever, ever have conversations with temptation. Never, ever have conversations and make deals. People make deals all the time. I'm not going to I'm not gonna drink Coke for a week. I'll limit to a can a day. And they start changing. They start having conversation. You've already lost. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Quote the word of God. And I love what Jesus says. Get behind me, Satan. You know what? Because Jesus said that, we can say it. Because he's given us his power and authority to use. Get behind me, Satan. You can rebuke the devil. I don't think the devil's so much of a problem for you because he's been defeated by Jesus. Stop giving him your ear. You say, oh, but it always comes to me. Hey, if there's certain times where you're vulnerable and usually the times that you're alone or well, recreate your environment. Come on, let's be practical. You know what? Let's love Jesus more than we love our sin. Some of us have a better relationship with our sin life than we do with God. And that's got to change. Deal with temptations. Deal with the things in your life. Know that, you know, I hear people for years, you know, oh, I was a drug addict and I was this and I was that. And then I've met Jesus and I was set free. I'm like, wow, that's incredible. I find that to be a rare case. I find being set free is this, being able to be in control of. Are you hearing me? I can have the power to choose. It still pulls at me, but I can say no now. That's the realities of your walk. That's your victorious walk. To not be without temptation, not to be without the pull and aches of this world, but to have victory over them, to have them submitted. Come on. Are you submitted to sin? Or are you submitted to Jesus? Are you submitted to temptations? Are you submitted to the walkings and the ways of the cross? Because the one excuse we don't have is that we don't know how to, and we don't have the power. We do. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the blood of Jesus, and we've got a body of believers around us. Amen. So, what a light topic tonight to speak about. I'm talking about it because it's real, and I'm talking about it because people are affected by temptation all the time, and we can walk around pretending that everything's perfect. And you know what? We are perfect in God's sight, but we've got to know how to bring this perfection into earth. And a lot of it's in the mind. A lot of it's in the mind. You've got to change your mind. It's not who you are. Are you hearing me? It's not who you are. It's not who you are. You are saved. You are set free. You're called by his name. And I just believe tonight that we're free to worship God. We're free to serve God. And I just want to encourage us at the end of this service, why don't we give God all the praise, all the worship? And maybe there's some business that we need to do with God and our walk with him, and just maybe coming to God afresh and saying, hey, I've been tempting you too much. I've been walking the fine line too much. Maybe we've given in to temptation. Maybe we've let it get power over us. And it's time tonight to say, no more. No more will this thing be the number one thing in my life, because I can't worship it and God at the same time. I've got a jealous God. I've got a God that already paid, and I'll worship him. And him alone. I will serve him and him alone. In all that I do is for the glory of God. Come on. Why don't we stand tonight? And probably preaching at myself more than anyone else in this room. So I just felt on my heart tonight to speak into this subject. And I just believe it's because there are people in this room that are struggling. And it's okay. Because God still loves you. You say, you don't know, Luke, the things that I get tempted with. I probably don't know. And the things that I get tempted with is probably different to you. But you know what? It's still the same result. It's still sin. It's still taking us away from God. And I believe that the power of God's love is greater than any pull of temptation. Come on. the pull of God's love. So all across this room, from the back to the front, heads bowed, eyes closed. There's people in this room tonight, you've allowed temptation to get the best of you. You've allowed it to mess things up. And tonight's a night to say no more. Maybe some people are just entertaining, they're on the verge. And this word of warning tonight has been a very timely God moment for you, where you're about to fall into some things and God's just yelling out, hey, here I am. Maybe tonight you're just away from God and you just don't know what to do. You need a miracle. I get it. Reach out to God. He won't leave you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you.
Thanks again for joining us. If you have any questions or simply for more information regarding Inspire Church, visit us at inspirechurch.com. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. It's our prayer that you live inspired by the Word of God and more alive in Him than ever before. Until next time.